Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
We got a very special episode today. Yeah.
Atlanta's always been good to us.
Atlanta's like a second home for us. That's a fact. Everybody knows that we're from New York, but we travel a lot to Atlanta. One of our partners, shout out to Mike, is in Atlanta.
Big Mike.
So,
Big homie.
Yeah. So we got a direct pipeline to Atlanta. So we got one of Atlanta's own. Are you from Atlanta originally?
I'm from New Jersey originally. Willingboro, New Jersey.
Okay. But you live in Atlanta?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Like everybody else, nobody's from Atlanta. So David Shands, interesting guy. He's an entrepreneur. He's an author. He is the head of an event that we're actually going to be a part of.
Yep.
Real Social Proof Conference. He teaches people how to become entrepreneurs. He has a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He does branding. He's always on social media.
Mindset tailoring. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. We coined that. Yeah, I like that.
He's a real renaissance man. And if you're on social media and you've seen him with the director's chair eating Doritos.
Yeah. Yo, one day you cheated on. You had like Cheetos. I said, yo, what you doing?
Yo, but here's the thing. One of my homegirls, she said, yo, I know somebody at Cheetos. Just make a video for them. I'm like, say no more. I'm not married to no company. Like Rap Snacks, holla at me, Lay's, Pringles, anything. Look, if it's a, if you got a black owned celery company, I got the same crunch. I'm with it.
Yes. So David, he's a entrepreneur and a true renaissance man. So before we start, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks
honor.
For coming up.
Really
sure.
True honor.
Welcome to the green room.
Y'all been waiting to be a EYL alumni for a long time. Y'all made that a thing. Y'all made it cool.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate
you said, that. You asked, when we were in Atlanta last time, you were like, yo, I'm going to be alumnus, man. I know it.
Yeah, I just want to be in the conversation. I know everybody going to listen and watch and all that. But I like, because everybody's like, yeah, we got this alumni. I just want to be in the
Welcome.
So, yeah. So before we start, I want to get your backstory because I think it's interesting, especially for people that are struggling as far as, we talk about business a lot, and a lot of times people feel like it's a pipe dream as far as becoming an entrepreneur, a business owner. You know, you work in a 9-to-5 job and you just barely making ends meet. Being an entrepreneur seems like a million miles away, right? Mm-hmm. But that's kind of your story. You used to work in the Cheesecake Factory, right? And then you became, so can you outline that?
Absolutely. So one, I've been trying to be an entrepreneur for a long time. I mean, since I was a kid, where I was raking leaves at my house and I look across the street and my neighbor has leaves on the lawn. And I'm like, yo, I really like the fact that the leaves look real pretty on the lawn. But for some reason, my dad makes me rake my leaves. But I go knock on the door. I'm like, yo, I like the beauty of the colors, but do you not like the fact that leaves are on your lawn? And she said, no, I mean, I just don't feel like doing it. I'm like, yo, I got a rake, what's up? So, but fast forward, you know, try, fail, and I don't wanna say fail, because everything that that didn't work out through my journey helped me in this right here. So the final straw was working at the Cheesecake Factory, and this is what happened, it's a cool story. My birthday's coming up, and I've been at Cheesecake Factory for a little while, and I'm cutting bread for my table, and this girl comes up to me and says, yo, what are you going to do for your birthday this year? Because my birthday was coming up. I was like, I don't know. I ain't think about it. She said, let's go back to the club we went to last year. And I'm like, she's like, everybody had a good time. Everybody came out. I'm like, all right, bet. Let's do it. So this weekend, let's go. But she walked away. You ever watch one of those movies where, like, the whole room gets dark? There's, like, a spotlight on one character. You know what I'm saying? The music starts playing, and I'm, like, reflecting in this moment. Right? I'm like, yo, I'm about to celebrate my birthday with the same people at the same place working at the same job. And nothing wrong with those things, right? But I get home, and I'm driving home in the same car. It was a 96 Toyota Corolla, I want to say. And I take my money, my tips for the day, put it in the bank. And I realized that my bank balance was like a little bit over negative. Like me putting the money in got it over negative.
Just cleared it.
But it was a moment from the year before where that same, I had like deja vu. I'm like, yo, around my birthday this year, the same exact thing happened. So for 12 months, nothing's changed but my age. I was in the same exact position. And I said, yo, something's gotta change. Something's gotta change. But my problem was—
How old were you?
I was 25 when I started. I was 25 when I started my business. So I think looking back, I've always been ambitious, but I never sit long enough to let something grow. I try something, it starts a little bit, then I just get like the shiny object syndrome and start something else. And this is the first time I said, yo, that's enough. And now it's time to really build something.
So, all right, so you get to the epiphany, and then, so your first business that you start is the kiosk?
So I was building a t-shirt brand called Sleep is for Suckers, geared towards, I still have it. And it's still doing well, but Sleep is for Suckers, geared towards entrepreneurship and people that lose sleep doing what they love. Because I'm trying to figure out what is the best time to build this business, because I'm working 8 to 10 hour shifts. I still, you know, I have some church obligations with my mom, stuff like that. And I'm like, the only time that I can really build this business is after work. So I work all day on my job and all night on my dream trying to build something. And just came up with the phrase, sleep is for suckers, because that was the time window. I had to give up sleep. I wasn't going to give up my job. I wasn't going to give up time with my mom. I wasn't going to give up time with my church. It was that time window that I'm asleep for 8 hours. Instead of 8 hours, I can sleep 6. And for 2 hours, I can build this business. And if I do that over a week, I'm putting 14 hours into a dream every single week.
So was it a t-shirt business?
T-shirt brand, yeah.
And we're moving it out the back of the Corolla.
Oh, we had the backseat boutique, baby. I'll pull up on you.
In my mind, I'm envisioning this. This is in Atlanta?
Atlanta,
and you just drive. So how's this work? You just driving around, pulling up on people like, yo, you going to barbershops? How are you marketing this thing?
I mean, it first started with, you know, like wristbands. So I got these wristbands that say sleep is for suckers. And I'm trying to sell people on the idea. If I can sell people on the philosophy, and it's regular. I mean, any wristbands you can get. But I'm trying to sell people on the concept. And then I put sleep is for suckers on a t-shirt. The designs were whack, but people felt the story. Like, yo, I don't sleep either. Yo, I'm trying to build something too. So I started with t-shirts, and you know, I started with my coworkers, my friends, family, who say, yo, when that drops, I'm going to buy it. And they don't. You like,
exactly
bruh.
How it works.
Oh, bruh. So at that point, I started this cool story, and I got a lot of stories, so I'm stopping a minute. I'm not going to make them that long. But even in my book, I wrote this part called $100 Off Days, where my goal is to build my business on my off days, just my off days. Because I was working 5 days a week on my job, 2 days a week on my dream. every single day, my goal is to go out and sell four t-shirts. I'm selling t-shirts for $25. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to sell four t-shirts. I'm trying to make $100 on each off day. So my boy was like, nah, you got to grind, man. You got to work every single day. I know myself. I'm low-key lazy. I work hard because mm-hmm. I'm kind of lazy. Yeah. I want to get to a point where I don't got to do nothing.
Work smart.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's what lazy people say.
Okay. But yeah, my goal is I'm focused on whatever happens throughout the week is extra, but my goal is on my off days, fill it with work. If I can put time into my job, I can put time into my business. So I started hitting these $100 each off day. So I called my boss like, yo, can you only put me on 4 days a week instead of five? Because I knew if I can make $200 on two off days, if I had three off days, I can make $300. Mm-hmm. And that joint started to hit. So long story short, by the time I quit my job, I was like working a day a week. So I like I teach people to transition out of their job. Mm. Let's set these small goals and build from there.
So can you talk about that? Because that's important as far as, it's all about strategy in life. And it's like, you never just want to jump out the window with anything. So can you break that down a little bit, the transition out of your job? I like that idea.
I'm thinking to myself, like, was there any fear in that? Like, or how did that play on your mind? Like, I'm doing this, I'm out.
I don't know. It wasn't really a fear because it happened so gradually. You know what I mean? It's like with this podcast, you drop one episode, then two, then three, and it starts to build. So I'm trying to make my goal is to make $200 a week. If I can't sell eight t-shirts in 7 days, you know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't like a fear of, oh, I got to go quit my job. That would be scary. I'm just trying to make a couple more dollars to like go to the club and hang out and put something on a bottle. I still wasn't going to buy it myself, but I want to be a person that could chip in. Yeah. So it wasn't really a fear, especially because since I was a kid, I've always been trying. Mm-hmm. The hard part was sticking when I'm only making $200 a week. Or sticking when I'm not really making any money instead of saying, yo, you know what? I think I'm going to try real estate because t-shirts don't work. It was just me. So the hard part was just staying in my lane and, you know, just staying one course for a while.
Yeah, it goes back to your, I looked at your page, the life cycle of a good idea.
Yeah.
This sounds like the life cycle of
your
ideas.
Oh, for sure. Everybody goes through it too.
You know what I mean? Like, can you break down that process? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that have ideas and they make it to the first stage of excitement, but they never make it to the last stage.
Oh, never. So I came across this presentation. I was on tour with ET 2017. And I think like a few hours before I was supposed to turn in my presentation, I was like, yo, I got it. The life cycle of a good idea is excitement. Everybody gets excited about the idea, but then you got to move to evolution where you got to start evolving the idea, which is not as exciting as when you got the idea and you get to tell everybody and you see the vision, yo, this goal was taking me out of my job. So excitement, then evolution, then engagement. So after you evolve it, you got to engage people. That gets scary. Mm. Because you got to actually approach people and make a sale.
And try to get to buy in.
You got to get people to buy in. Yeah. But then with engagement comes resistance. You'll automatically have those people to say, yo, I don't want to buy it. And then you have to make a decision. And the decision is either get excited about something else or move into expansion. But the trick is taking each stage with you. So if you're excited and you move to evolution, you got to be excited while you're evolving the idea. And some people move from evolution to engagement, but they stop evolving the content. Mm. So once you start to hit resistance, if you're still engaging people and evolving, you're asking people, okay, why aren't you buying this? Because you're still evolving it. You're still trying to get better, meaning you're still engaging.
You're assessing it.
Yeah. And then you make a decision to just don't get excited about something else, fight through it, take all that data, get re-excited about the same concept, retool it, keep engaging, go through the resistance, and then you expand.
You said something important, and Shadi comes from a sales background, and you come from a sales background. You said a sale starts when somebody says no.
Oh, for sure.
In my mind, I'm like, yeah, somebody says no, I was next to the next person. But what's the importance of that? Like, what's the philosophy behind that?
I mean, when you go into a shoe store, obviously somebody comes up to you, and they're like, can I help you? And you always say, no, I'm good. Like, we're trained to say no.
Yeah.
The game starts when they say no first. Mm. So I was expecting, yo, you want to buy this t-shirt? And they say no. I'm like, all right, man, well, I got to go to the next person. But then I realized that one of my mentors said, yo, make them tell you no twice. So I'm like, yo, would you like to buy this t-shirt? And they say, nah, I'm good. And I'm like, yo, are you sure? Look at this. Like, look at that. Like, this would be dope with your shoes. And for some reason, I started converting. Like, people are like, oh, all right, yeah, you're right. Let me get it. right? So now, you know, fast forward, I was able to leave the Cheesecake Factory and jump into the kiosk. I make you tell me no till you walk away. Because, yo, I've converted on the third sale. The third no, the fourth no. And sometimes people will buy because they tired of you asking and they know you're not going to let them go. Look, I got some. All right, cool. Give me that one. Here.
Take it.
Make them tell you no more than once.
Yeah, now the sales is, we talk about that a few times on the podcast. It's something that most people are extremely afraid of because nobody likes to talk to strangers. Like, we're conditioned as kids not to talk to strangers. That's the first thing they tell you. Don't talk to strangers. And that carries over as an adult. And it's like to walk up to somebody, especially to try to ask them to buy a product and to spend money with you, is like, is terrifying for most people. But I always say, like, if you can actually do sales, I recommend anybody that wants to be in business to do at least 1 year of sales.
Oh, yeah.
Selling something. I don't care whether it's life insurance, whether it's knives, whether it's cell phone cases. You got to be able to sell something. Because if you could sell something, A, it takes a fear away.
Yeah.
And you'll realize that the worst thing in the world is not a no.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like people say no, you're still living. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
You got to develop thick skin to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I got a client. Shout out to my man Sam. He came on our coaching call. Like, I have a call in the mornings. And he said, man, how do I take my business to the next level? And my question was like, yo, how many people do you ask to buy your service? And he said, man, not that many. I said, yo, give me a number. Like, how many people do you actually ask? He said, well, not a whole lot. But bro, how many did you ask yesterday? He said, none. I said, that's the problem. So this is what I want you to do, because he's afraid to ask for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
I said, or he's afraid to attend. He's afraid to like get into sales. But what I told him was, I just want you to ask three people a day. That's your goal. I don't care whether they buy or not, because the pressure is in their answer. But if you condition your mind to say, yo, my goal is not to make a sale. My goal is to just ask five people every day. So I can go to the store and say, yo, I don't want to bother you. My coach make me do this. Would you like to buy this t-shirt? Okay, that's one. Hey, mom, I know I ain't talked to you in a little while. I never tried to sell you anything, but let me get my number out. And if you can start to get your number out, three sales, five, just make five calls. Make your goal the work, not the reward, because the reward is scary, because if you don't get it, you're disappointed. But what you can control is the work. That's the only thing you can control.
So is there a fine line between persistence and annoyance? Because I could imagine, like, yo, get this, and it's like, all right. Is there a fine line there?
To make a sale, you got to be kind of annoying a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to ask certain people. It's going to be somebody you want to get on the podcast. They say no. Next time you see them, you need to ask them again. It's only our inside. We feel like we're being annoying.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just forget. And I learned this at the Cheesecake Factory. So dope. People want to, they want to eat cheesecake, but they want you to convince them. They want to do it, but the right thing to say is no, because it's high in fat calories. But they really want me to ask. They really want me to convince. They feel good, strong will, because they're saying no because they're on a diet.
Yeah, we got this new one.
Oh, for sure. They'll be happy when I convince them.
No, it's the no thing is extremely important. And it's important for people to understand, not to take things personal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, living in New York, I was on the subway years ago, and I just did like an observation. It's like, people, this guy's handing out like free newspaper. They're free to anybody that's like coming through the turnstile. And every single person was like, no, I'm good. I'm thinking to myself, like, it's free. It's a free newspaper.
Right.
Why not take it? But it's like, they're just conditioned that he's trying to sell me. He's not even trying to sell. He's giving it away.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's like the same thing. It's like a pretty girl. Like, you might want to dance with a pretty girl, and she's like, no. But it's like, you didn't even look at me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But she's just used.
Yeah.
She's conditioned to say no. So I say, I have to say, like, people in general are conditioned to say no. So peeling back that layer and saying, like, well, why? It's free. It's a free newspaper. Why do you want to take it? Like, let me
just get the no out of the way.
And you're not going to convince everybody, but some people, once you just get that first layer, like, if you can get past that first layer, it's like a home run after that.
Yeah. I think how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you're attempting to make a sale and they say no, if you're working on a product and you just can't figure it out, like these mics, you just couldn't figure out how to get it working, you'll probably stop at that too and just get another mic, right? But once you develop a certain level of persistence, once you develop that trait, that carries to everything. You know what I mean? Like, if you can be persistent in a sales transaction, you could be persistent in getting that person interested enough to date you or trying to close that deal. I believe how you do anything is how you do everything.
So
you sound like you're gonna be the host on Bachelor, man.
So what are some steps? Like you said, you coach people to become entrepreneurs from their 9 to 5. What are some steps? I'm sure there's a lot of people that may listen to this podcast that have 9 to 5 jobs and want to become entrepreneurs. Like, what are some practical steps that people can take?
I think the first step is just set a goal. And I don't care what the goal is. Ideally, if you're new in entrepreneurship, you don't want to set a sales goal or a reward goal. You want to set a work goal. So mm-hmm. your work goal might be starting out from 6 to 7 every single day, I'm going to work on this product or this project. Whatever it is I'm doing, from 6 to 7, if you got a podcast, from 6 to 7, I'm reaching out to people to be on my, I don't care what they say. Their answer doesn't have anything to do with me, mm-hmm. but for me to hit my goal from 6 to 7, because that works on consistency. You get more comfortable reaching out and you're putting a whole bunch of people in your pipeline. This for this particular scenario, I guess, with podcasting, but the first step is to set a consistent goal that you can hit, because you can't control if somebody buys or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think the first step is, if you have a business, you set some work goals. And out of those work goals, if you get comfortable in that long enough, then you set some small reward goals. And you just do that consistently. My goal is to sell one a day, whatever the product is. Let me just sell one a day. And you do that often enough, you'll get tired of that.
Now, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because that's something that I learned early on in business when I was first came into business, right? And I learned that you can't. People make the mistake all the time because they say, okay, I want to make $100,000. And in order to do that, I need to make $2,000 a week, right? And it's like, okay, I'm going to make $2,000 a week. I'm not going to work 2 weeks out of the year. So if I make $2,000 for 50 weeks, I'll make $100,000. But that's not really an attainable goal, because it's like, what does it take to make $2,000 a week, right?
And you don't know. Exactly. You've never done it.
So yeah. It's like, if you're selling a product, right, you might say, okay, I need to sell 10 of these, whatever they are, in order to make $2,000.
Right.
But even saying, all right, I'm going to sell 10 products, that's really not a good goal, because how are you going to sell 10 products? You got to dig deeper to say, okay, in order to sell 10 products, I know I need to speak to 100 people.
Exactly.
So the goal is not to sell 10 products. The goal is to speak to 100 people.
Exactly.
So now you dig it down even deeper and it's like, okay, well, how do I speak to 100 people? I need to get 25 referrals. Mm-hmm. I need to go to 5 networking events. Mm-hmm. I need to cold call 100 people. Yep. That's the formula for me to speak. My goal is to, if I speak to 100 people, I'm going to sell 10 products. I'm going to make 2,000. But a lot of times people do it backwards.
Yeah.
They say, I'm going to make 2,000. They get frustrated because it's June and they haven't made any money.
Right.
And it's like, they just quit.
Yeah, the question is like, how long did you think it was going to take to be successful?
Right. And I mean, the thing is, you're saying the numbers are so practical, like one. You're not saying even 10, like one. Like that's practical. Like if I can reach that. If I didn't hit it the first week, all right, let me try that one the next week. It's not like, yo, if I make 2,000, if I make 100, like, yo, you made 100. Like you might even overlook that. Like, yo, you did 100. It's not 2,000, but like, it was something, right? Yeah. Setting the goals that are not so lofty. And that's a good strategy.
I think just people remind themselves, yo, a year from now is gonna be here. So we just started this process a year ago. We started this process, let's say a year ago, and you were on this journey of selling one every single day. You know, you sold 365 products to this date. And can you imagine the personal development, what you've learned about yourself, the skills you've acquired by selling one every day? So let's not let 12 months come. Like my story, I felt like I was asleep for 12 months. Mm. Nothing's changed about my age. Let's set, like, something in this process is going to change 12 months from today.
Yo, that's crazy, because I'm thinking, like, how many people have gone through that. Like every year is the same, but the age. Yep. We're in the same spot, same girl, same guy, same job.
Because you're setting a goal and you, it's like losing weight. It's like, all right, I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year. No, you're really not. But you could just say it. It sounds good.
Right.
And it's like, before you know it, the year's over.
Right. Let's just say, yo, I'm not going to drink sodas. Let's start there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something you could, because you can't, okay, yo, I'm going to go raw vegan. I'm just, bro, just let's
and,
just
and stop. I think it's good too. I read a book called The 12-Week Year. Mm-hmm. And so the theory is that they break the year into 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, instead of setting a goal for a year, 52 weeks, set a goal for 12 weeks. You can actually break it down. I talked about this before, sure. Like weekly, monthly, but smaller things are much more attainable. Mm-hmm. Like to say, okay, I want to do this per month.
Yeah.
This is my goal for the month. I'm not even thinking about next month. Because next month I might have a different goal.
Yeah, but
if I set a goal for the year, it's too long of a period for me to actually track that. And you get discouraged, and then you just don't
have extreme
nowhere.
Discipline to do that.
Yeah.
People think it's about like the external thing. The whole game is in our head and who we are. The whole game. Yo, for all my entrepreneurs watching right now, you want to start something, you're not being consistent in your business. Let's see if you can make your bed every day. Let's try that. To be consistent, right? So what happened first day, just like anybody's diet, yo, I'm on it, make my bed, bop, bop, dang, I'm good. Second day, third day, fourth day, you'll be getting to the door, rushing out, and then you're like, I forgot to make my bed. You run back in, like, all right, cool, I'm back, got my joint going. We do that for a couple of days. Next week, you leave out the house, you on the highway, ready to work. Now you forget, oh, crap, I forgot to make my bed. Now we got a decision to make. Do we like go back and do what we say we're gonna do, or we be like, oh, I'm gonna do it tomorrow? Like we do everything else in our lives.
And endurance.
Yeah,
I learned that development from sports. It's like you learn about endurance, and it's like I say that all the time: entrepreneur endurance. 90% of people is not gonna last because they don't have endurance.
The facts.
It's like, all right, you know what you need to do. You need to make these calls. You need to do this, but in order to do it every single day for 3 years, every single day, that's a different level of commitment. Yeah. So it's like people might fall out the race after a week. After 2 months, even after 10 months, you might just tap out.
Yeah.
But like Nipsey said, it's a marathon, right? Like
you're marathon continues.
You stay in some game for a little while. Just do something. Just something consistently.
One of my ideas is going to work.
No, for sure. You just develop through the process. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How do people know when it's a good idea to quit their job? Obviously, when you make enough money. But most of the time, people quit their job where they're really still not sure financially, right? Yeah. So like, what's your advice for that? You might be making some money, but it's kind of a risk if you quit your job. Yeah. But if you quit your job, you can focus more time and potentially make way more money.
Yeah, good point. My advice is to set a quit number. So the quit number is, I will quit my job when I hit this number. If I don't hit the number, then I don't quit. But some people say, yo, if I can make $100,000 a year outside of my job, I'll quit. Well, you've never done that before, ever, right? So my goal was, if I can match my income, if I can get to $1,000 a week, I'm gonna quit my job. That was my goal. And if I can do that consistently for 4 months, I'll quit my job. So when I quit my job, I was doing about $1,000 a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's the first step. Like, let's see if you can hit a goal. And some people are like, yo, If I had more time for my job, I'd be successful. But those same people that say that, if you look at their day and their time windows where they do have time to build, they don't build. And they think they got to get rid of that 8 hours at their job to do the same thing they're doing now, which is nothing in their free time.
Yeah, that's what I said. I argue with this my colleagues all the time. They're like, how do you have the time? How do you have the time? I'm like, yo, we all have the same 24.
Facts.
We all have the same 24. Facts. Even if you spend that hour, like I talk to teachers all the time, like, yo, listen, you guys advocate for kids better than anybody I've seen. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you wrote a book about that. Mm-hmm. Like how many people you could help, parents you could help, underserved families you could help. I don't have the time. We're talking right now for a half hour. Like you could have been recording this conversation. Right, it's right. Like, yo, we have to find the allocation for it, man. Because that book could sell 1,000 books and now that's your whole year's salary.
Yeah.
It's like Wall Street Trapper said that you have to have your freedom price. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's very powerful. And it's like a lot of times people don't know, you don't know anything. Like you're just doing stuff and you don't have an idea. You don't have a blueprint, right? You got to sit down and map things out. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, this is the amount of money that I feel comfortable with leaving. Yeah. He calls it freedom price. You call it whatever you want, but it's going to be different for everybody. So it's like one person's freedom price might be $40,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Another person's freedom price might be $2,000 a month, whatever. But you don't really, how can you even gauge what to work towards if you don't know that? Yeah. And B, you're not gonna know like when you're gonna be comfortable if you don't know that. Like, you gotta map out all of your bills.
Sure.
You gotta map out you know, a contingency plan, all that, and just say, okay, this is a nice cushion, $5,000 a month, I should be good.
Yeah.
But most people never do that. Yeah. And they have no idea and they just kind of just winging it.
I got a question for you too, Shaq, because I was telling Troy, I had a client years ago where she had like she was selling solar products, right? Like stuff that goes on the house, phone charger, stuff like that, solar products. And she was like really building this joint. She had a job, she was making like $30,000-$40,000 a year, but her business started to make $25,000 per month, right? So, but for some reason, she never quit her job, right? She wanted that security of, let's just say, $40,000 a year, but she was making $25,000 a month with this business. And if she'd have quit her job, she was focused on that, she'd build it, but she was scared. So I want to ask you a question. Why do you think that happened?
Fear. She tried, truly never believed in the business. Because a lot of times it's like, you start a business and it's going successful, but you still don't fully believe in it. And it's like, okay, if I lose this, this can go away tomorrow. Yeah. At least I have this to fall back on.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't think people even think of the freedom. Like, so if we set a freedom price, most people wouldn't even, they have no idea what it is. Right. They never even thought of it. Ever. It's not obtainable. But you ask those same people, are you happy at your job? Yeah, I can't do this forever. And it's like, well, what do you plan to do? I don't know. They've never thought of it. It was like,
or a pie in the sky dream that they have that they're not working towards, for sure.
Exactly.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What's your freedom price? That's the question. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about E-Complex. We're going to talk about branding and a bunch of other cool stuff. All right. So in this segment, I want to talk about a few things. But first thing I want to talk about is branding. So you branded yourself very good. I think you have 64,000 followers on Instagram.
Yes.
I checked today. By the time this episode comes out, I'm sure it'll be even more.
We're going to check a week after the episode comes out.
So if anybody's not familiar, your name on Instagram is Sleepers for Suckers.
Correct.
The number four. And you have a thing where you like do these clips in a high chair eating Doritos, right? And I watched a clip of you saying like the reason why you do that, the consistency. Can you talk about that? Like where did that come from, and like why is that part of your brand?
You know, here's the crazy thing. Y'all watch Plies on Instagram?
Sometimes, Plies.
I was so fascinated with how he was getting out a whole message, a whole story in 60 seconds. I was watching him. I'm like, yo, this is so entertaining. I feel like I watched a movie for 60 seconds, right? This is like before, you know, we had IGTV and all that. And I was like, yo, you know what? I want to see if I can get a message off in 60 seconds and make it entertaining and fun. Because that's what Plies did. He made it entertaining,
and
then I want
Drake's album off that.
Right. So I was like, yo, but how am I going to do it? Because I don't want to be corny like everybody. Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy David Shins, man. I got 3 points for you today. I ain't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm real big in just having a thing or a gimmick. So I was watching this show. Shouts out to my mentor, CJ. He showed me this video called Hot Ones, where you seen the show Hot Ones?
No.
Oh, this joint's fire. So he interviews people, but the only difference between his interview, he's asking basic questions.
Oh, the hot sauce and the wings?
That joint's crazy.
Yeah.
But the line of questioning isn't the centerpiece of the interview. The interview is, what is their reaction to the hottest wings?
Yeah, those are crazy.
I thought that was genius.
Yeah.
Yo, he just put interview around finding out how an interview will react to hot wings.
Yeah, some people don't finish the interview.
Right, for sure, for sure. So I'm like, okay, how can I do it? And I was like, all right, I'm gonna eat something. I don't know what it was. Because before that, I was doing these videos where I was eating cereal and I would like give some bars. And people hated that joint. Because they hear the slurp and all that. They was like, yo, I hate it, but the information's so good, I would keep watching it. So I'm like, all right. And then I stopped that for a while. And I was in the studio. And first, if you go back, I was eating gummy bears first. And then I think all we had was Doritos after that. And I started eating them. People were like, yo, I love the Doritos videos. So I kept doing Doritos videos.
Dorito Dave.
Oh, yeah, it's Dorito Dave. It just happened that way. And I'm really authentic in who I am, because if, say I'm eating some chips or something, and you come to talk to me, I'm not going to put the chips down and be like, oh, let's have a conversation. I'm going to keep eating them joints, right?
Yeah, so you're known for it now.
I wanted to be like, this is just how I operate.
I felt a little bad today. I was like, when you came, I was like, yeah, I only got Doritos. Pringles, bro.
I told him it's in my rider, man. It's in my rider. I need Doritos.
Damn, man. Shotty's a cool ranch guy. You're not a cool ranch guy. I never seen you with the cool ranch.
Yeah, I rock some cool ranch. Okay. But I be trying to find the different flavors.
But it's because even when we interviewed Wallow, and we was saying like, anybody that follows Wallow, you know, he's always doing, especially in the early stages, he was like doing push-ups in the rain.
That's his thing.
Like jumping out of garbage cans.
Run up to the camera. Yeah, that's his thing.
So we asked him like, yo, why'd you do that? And he was like, you know, I realized that coming out of jail and just being somebody that nobody knew, I had to separate myself from the girl on Instagram in lingerie, the dude with the muscles, like I'm just a regular person. Like, how do I separate myself on a world full of everybody that's doing completely different? He's like, that was my thing. That was my niche. And it's like, no matter what you do, you have to be unique.
Yeah.
So it's like just something like that, you're eating Doritos and you're constantly doing that while you're speaking, it catches people's attention. It's like, well, I just got eating Doritos. Let me hear, let me hear what he's talking about. Like, yeah, maybe?
And it creates that conversation because some my boy in my church, he was like, yo, I cannot watch some joints because of the crunch. It's killing me. And that's what made me do it more, because some people love it, some people hate it. And anything that's ever been big in history, some people loved it, some people hate it. Think of something that everybody loved that just became a thing.
Yeah.
Both sides. I mean, they talking. People talking negatively, they talking positively. They
you
talking.
Need to have that conversation. Yeah. Yo, you be watching the dude with the Doritos. I hate that. Yeah, I loved it. I need that conversation. Yeah.
So CJ, that's ET's partner?
Yep.
Is that him. Yeah, we hear
you gotta get introduced to him, man.
He'll be there Friday on Social Roof. He'll be there Friday on Social Roof.
A lot of people, everybody
talks about him. We've never met him. But genius, is that where your marketing like genius starts?
100%
Yeah, he's the brainchild behind it.
Absolutely. He always pushed me to think unique. Like do what's not happening and do that. He was like, I was at his office one day, he was like, yo, man, I just can't figure out why cars still have four tires, bro. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yo, you mean to tell me out of all the technology, they ain't invent a car where it's just like one wheel and it just move? He's like, yo, that's where my head is. So ever since that conversation, I'm like, yo, I gotta do something that's different. Everything I do, I just want it to be different. Like right now I'm doing the videos where I'm like writing out principles. Mm-hmm. And you can't even really read what I'm writing, but it gets so much engagement mm-hmm. because it's just different. Like I'll draw a little smiley face and you can't read the words and I'll misspell some stuff and I can add that into, but I'm not saying anything that nobody else is saying. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm putting it in a different, fresh, entertaining way.
Yeah, one of those videos that I caught my attention was the human bingo. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about that?
All the facts. Yes, sir. So I had this idea to do this event called IG Post Exchange. And shout out to my girl, Bree Renee, my partner. She's killing it in Atlanta. Radio host, follower, Bree Renee. But the core idea was IG Post Exchange, where I get a whole bunch of people in the room and we just shout each other out. So I'm like, yo, I'm here at the IG Post Exchange with Troy. He got a podcast. Tell him about your podcast, right?
Yeah.
It costs nothing to shout somebody out. It costs, like, a candle doesn't lose something by lighting another candle. You just like that joint and I'm still good. So that's my concept, getting a bunch of people in the room. But then I'm like, all right, Bree, how are we gonna execute on this? You know, it can't be just IG Post Exchange. So we got around the table. He's like, yo, we're gonna do human bingo. Mm-hmm. So when you first come in, you get a card, and in this card there's 9 squares. And in the 9 squares, you write out what you need. I need a videographer, I need somebody that does PR, I need somebody in the music business. This is what I need. So we're not just, networking is stupid because most people are just like, yo, I'm going to network. And you just go in there and you talk to whoever you can and you leave. But networking is really about getting what you need. So if we identify before we walk in, I need to jump on a podcast, I'm gonna ask you like, yo, Rashad, you got a podcast? Oh yeah, you do? Oh, great. My name is so-and-so. Now I checked you off my list. I found what I was looking for. So human bingo is just that. You identify who you need and you try to fill up your card.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of
they're going to steal this idea, too. Like, we're going to see IG Post Exchange all across the world now. And it's all good, though, so do it. I'm not mad. That's just invite dope, me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole point of networking is to meet people, right, that you can add value to and that can add value to you.
For sure.
So it's a lot more efficient. It's like kind of going to Marshall's and you just sorting through racks of clothes that mm-hmm. you don't want for mm-hmm. the one piece of item that is, like, good.
People don't know what they don't want. So say I'm looking for a web designer and I'm at a networking event. I'm like, yo, Troy, what's up, man? My name is David. I got this clothing brand. I'm doing this event. Do you do web design? And Troy says, no. I'm like, yo, well, do you know anybody that does that? And he says, no. I'm like, all right, man, Troy, nice to meet you, man. I'm moving on because there's something that I'm looking for. But some people just walk into a building and they just hoping to have a good time. My networking is super intentional.
Yeah, because like in my mind, I'm thinking like, yo, if that web designer is in that room, he could be leaving in 5 minutes.
Bruh.
And if you miss that 5 minutes, now you've missed your web designer.
Yeah.
So it's super intentional. I like that.
And also with the, I know you said that you do it, so you have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you said one of the things about the podcast, you like to interview people because it's a great networking tool, is relationships. I told you said that.
Oh, for sure.
Can you talk about that? Because it's true. Even like with our podcast, it's like one of the good things is that we meet so many different people. Yeah. And the interview is a really good way to network with people because everybody wants to be interviewed. You'd be surprised. Even if you have a small platform, as long as it's not taking too much of their time, like even, they might not be able to meet with you physically, but if you say, like, I wanna do a write-up on you, I wanna, because people, especially successful people, when Maverick Carter said this, like, they always wanna tell their story.
Right.
They wanna tell you how it's just not enough people is asking them, especially if they're not, like, celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a bunch of everyday millionaires who nobody knows, right? And it's like, instead of trying to say, hey, can you mentor me? Like, no, that's what's in it for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, Can I have coffee with you? No. Like, hey, I want to do an interview with you, right?
Time for coffee.
Can I do a write-up? Even if you don't have anything like an outlet yet, you got Instagram. That's your outlet right there. And it's like, nine times out of 10, they'll be willing to sit down with you. And then from there, you develop a rapport, a relationship, and who knows what could happen from that.
Absolutely. I mean, if there was, say I didn't have a podcast. What's your name?
Abdullah.
So Abdullah doesn't have a podcast, but he sees somebody that's really successful, right? What would you say to him? Yo, I love what you're doing. Can I take a picture?
You feel me? Those are the two lines.
For sure. But with Earn Your Leisure, you're like, yo, you so-and-so. Yo, we got this podcast. Look at the numbers. Or without even the numbers, like, yo, I got this podcast. I want to interview you. I'll put some clips together. You could post the clips of your interview on your page. And I have a conversation. And what happened was, it's crazy, the way I got Alex, so shouts out to Alex, my alumni brother. You know what I'm saying? My alumni brother now.
We spoke about that. The importance of your interview with Alex to the Earn Your Leisure interview with Alex, man. I watched it, Shotty watched it, and when we came together, I'm like, yo, you watched that interview? And we used that as part of our blueprint to talk to him.
Yeah, Alex
so thank you.
He's low-key to plug this because like I wouldn't know y'all if it wasn't for Alex for some reason, right? But I interviewed I think I interviewed G. Bryant, who's 7-figure fitness company, just amazing entrepreneur who's had a large impact on me. But I interviewed G. Bryant, then I interviewed, I think, Kenny Conwell, and they're all in that same circle. And what happened was Boniface Ogunti, who's a king of marketing,
big time,
he called me, he DM'd me, like, yo, I'd love to be on your podcast. I'm like, word? I see him all the time. He's a genius. So I interviewed Boniface, and then for some reason, I was just talking to Alex somehow, and he's like, yo, man, I'd love to get on the podcast, right? And then Alex came on the podcast. And that network, because I had it, their friends started to see, like, yo, I want to be on that podcast too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably from this interview, there'll be some people in your network that will reach out like, yo, I'd love to be on your podcast. It'll lead them over to mine. So if there's a successful, I encourage everybody, if you want to build a brand, company, whatever, just have a podcast so you can at least have something to say to successful people other than, can we take a picture?
Yeah, and that's something that I actually, it was funny that you say that because we ran into Dame John and Miami Super Bowl. And I walked up to him and, you know, like you said, if you don't really have anything to say to somebody, the only thing you can say is like, here's my business card.
Right.
That's getting thrown in the garbage.
For sure. Every time.
Like, hey, how's it going? I'm a big fan of your work. I appreciate
what?
It.
I can't hear you. What?
So it's like, I walk up to him and, you know, in this case, I actually did show the numbers, but even if we didn't have numbers to show him, like, you know, we got a podcast, And then, I mean, when he saw the numbers, he was impressed, but long story short, that opened the door for a conversation.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, let's connect the dots. Let's do da da da. I actually had something to bring to him.
Yeah.
And then who knows where that relationship can go. So, yeah. And that's kind of like my thing now with anybody. Like, if I meet Mark Cuban, he's like, yo, what's up, man? We got one of the top business podcasts. What's up? Da da da. We did that to Gary Vee.
Dwayne Wade.
Yeah. It's just, it's a door opener. And it's like, oh, okay. You got something to add.
For sure. And there are some people that are looking like, yo, I'll never get to those people. But my philosophy is if you can interview some people that are on the level that you're on, let's just say they're level 2, right? They're not super successful, but they maybe got a cool story. If you interview enough 2s, you can find a 3 because of all the interviews of the 2s.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? So if you get enough people that's on level 3 of success, business, whatever, you get enough of those, you can at least get a number 4 that's connected to a 3, and you just move up the scale. So I started with my circle, and my circle has grown into like bigger circles, but it wasn't like, yo, I'm trying to go get Mark Cuban. know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to just give me all the people that's doing something dope in my neighborhood. Yeah. Let me start.
Well, that's important too, because it's like a lot of times, especially you actually might be better off interviewing your neighborhood person, because a lot of times they actually have more money than celebrities and they're more useful to you. Like, I used to have a public access show. I just stopped it because it was just, I didn't have enough time, but I had it for years. And the reason why I did the public act, hey, it helped me.
I was a guest.
Yeah, he was a guest.
Oh, yeah, for real.
It was a great networking tool in my community, because it's like, now, like, let's say it was like a local CPA I wanted to network with, like locally. And it's like, you want to come on my TV show? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to be on TV? Especially, right. You're not a celebrity. Nobody's approaching you about interviews, but you're successful. You're a successful real estate developer. You're a successful CPA, whatever, a lawyer. And I did that a lot. I did that for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it was a great, and I used it pretty much as a networking tool. Each month, I know I was going to be able to network with somebody and build a relationship.
Yeah, and it don't even have to be about success. Everybody has a cool story.
Yeah, the stories are the what makes it dope. Because like, even the person with the, like we're saying, like a level three, the beauty is watching that level three, like you interviewed them, and now they become like a level 10.
Yeah.
Because it was like, yo, we saw you on that podcast.
Yeah,
and your story was so powerful. And now we want to support everything you do. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much beauty in that. I think that's why people resonate with us a lot. It's like, yo, we're happy in the success of the people that come on. Because it's like, yo, we helped each other. Like,
right, oh,
you came
sure.
on. You told your story. You didn't have to come on. Mm-hmm. And like now, like everybody wants to hear your story.
Absolutely.
So it's super dope.
I think I'll just throw out some ideas. I just love like helping small business entrepreneurs. But my boy Tommy Holt Jr., he's going to do a podcast interviewing. He does real estate with Max Maxwell.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to
our he's dad. Going to interview people who got their first deal. Ain't that crazy? Like, I'm all people who got their first deal in real estate. I'm going to interview those people. Or you interview everybody who has a job and a dream. They ain't start building it yet, but it's content. Like, yo, what is your story? What is holding you back? You know, I'm waiting for the podcast where people go around and interview homeless people. Mm. Like, I talked to, if you're homeless and come up to me and ask me for $5 or some cash, I'll give it to you. But I interview all the time. I want to know how you got here. I want to know the story.
Yeah.
Like, you interview people who just got out of prison, yeah. or people that's actually on trial and they might go to prison, and you got to figure out where they at in this space, and their trial isn't over, but they could go to prison, they could go home. Like, it doesn't always have to be about successful people.
Everybody
it's
has
about
a story.
An idea, bro.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that, and I was telling the people in our summer program, right? We do a homeless outreach. And I'm like, the first thing I tell them is like, no one ever thought they would be sitting here. Mm. No one ever grows up and says, I'm going to be homeless. But something along the way got them here.
I'd subscribe.
You see what I'm saying? So it was like, yo, we're going to treat everybody the same because everybody is the same. And we're going to give to them because that's more important than anything else.
Facts.
And they appreciate it. So like, one of the things we tell them is like, yo, there's no need to be afraid. Sit down. Have a conversation. Because think about how many people walk past them on a daily basis and don't say a word.
One of the best shows HBO ever had was Backseat Chronicles. Remember the taxi?
Oh, Taxi Cab Confessions.
And that was, it's Backseat Chronicles of regular everyday people. And now in this day and age of social media, where everybody's trying to chase celebrities and all of that, and it's like, you might find a niche with just regular people that nobody knows. Mm-hmm. Because way more people can relate to that. And that's why that show was so successful, because it was New York City back of a taxi cab before Uber.
And people, it was
just regular people just saying some crazy stories.
Doing some crazy things.
Yeah. Well, that happened too. But so it was like people was tuning in. Like,
we watched every season.
Yeah, and it was like, so it's like.
It was a wild stuff going on.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Welcome to New York City.
So I think that's important for people to understand. It's like, it's cool to find celebrities. And like you said, but sometimes, you got to think outside the box. You might be able to just really hit it out the park with people that nobody knows. Mm. In a series like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a perfect example of a series that was on a major TV network with random people that was extremely successful.
Absolutely. I was at a school last week, and I was telling them that this is me and my friends. We were like downtown Atlanta. This guy comes up, really well-spoken. He said, would you gentlemen happen to have any money just trying to get something to eat? I'm like, sure, no problem. But I'm asking questions. I'm like, yo, because you're so well-spoken. You can tell he's like educated. And I was like, yo, I'll give you the money, but I just need a conversation. How did you get here? So long story short, he was like, yo, man, he didn't say yo, man. He was like a professional. He said, well, actually, I had a really, really good job. And what happened was my coworkers used to ask me to come out to hang out with them and party after work. But I'd always say no. You know, I'm going home to my family, things of that nature. But one time they asked me to come out to a party and I said yes. So I'm hanging out and it just surprised me. All I'm doing cocaine. Mm. He's like, yo, wow, this is crazy.
Gotta try it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they asked him. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. He's like, yo.
Maybe.
my thought process. But he's like, yo, I'm not doing that. And look, they kept asking my man. He's like, yo, every time you go out, he like, yo, you want to try it? Just one hit. He's like, no, I'm good. And he said, man, this went on probably 6 months to a year. And one time, one day, I said, I'll try it. And it wasn't that bad. Because I'm looking at these people. They do cocaine every day. And it's a regular life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a social drug at this point.
Bro, it's social. Like, they still got their job. They ain't all stressed out how I see it on TV. Yeah. And he said, what happened was, you know, I tried it at one time and it was cool. So I started hanging out with them more. Now that I tried it, you know what I'm saying? I never OD'd, but I did it again. And what happened was I enjoyed it and I started doing it by myself just as a recreational thing. I'm sure they did too. Mm-hmm. And I guess his work performance started to slip a little bit. And he said, you know, I kept coming in late, things of that nature, and they fired me. And my wife knew exactly why they fired me. So she left me. Mm. So what happened was, long story short, I couldn't get a job because I couldn't kick the habit. And I found myself here asking you for money.
Wow.
So I asked the kids in the school, where did it happen? Like, at what point did he make the mistake? And some kids like, oh, when he tried it. It wasn't when he tried it. It was once he got in that environment.
Stay.
And you can't, it's hard to do the right thing in the wrong environment. Conversely, it's hard to do the wrong thing in the right environment. Mm. If, say you drink and the people here don't drink, it's hard for you to just order a drink.
Yeah, you feel uncomfortable.
You feel uncomfortable. But conversely, it's hard to be the person that doesn't drink in a room full of drinkers. It just doesn't, not saying drinking is wrong or anything like that, but for the kids, that was my example. But it was the environment. So I gave this whole presentation on environment and it was real. But I wouldn't have got it if I interviewed a homeless guy.
That's powerful.
Very deep. Very deep.
Rashad would have tried it. Off rip. First day.
Gotta
what
do
y'all
it.
Doing over there? Let me try.
So, all right. Can we talk about E-Complex? Because, thank you. We actually did. We did our workshop at your event. It's awesome, very dope. And the thing about it was actually in D.C. And we was talking in D.C. And... I was telling somebody about the thing, and they're like, oh, he got an interesting thing. This is before I saw it. And they're like, you know, it's a warehouse that he converted into an event space. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fully understand, like, the concept until I actually saw it. And I'm like, oh, this is a warehouse that's actually converted into a creative workspace. Like, how did that come about? How did you get a work? That's a pretty big location. Like,
we're looking for it. Here's the crazy thing. I was doing vision board parties every year, and I drew out this like thing called Entrepreneurship Complex. It was like years before I actually built it. And what happened was I was doing this coaching program. I was like charging maybe $300 a month, and I had like 8 clients. And I was like, yo, I'm getting tired of coaching. So this one young lady, Janae, came up to me and was like, yo, I want, you know, I'm thinking about being an entrepreneur and I just want to like be around entrepreneurship. She came to my kiosk. I had a kiosk at this moment. And we just started working together on my nonprofit. She's like, yo, I work in finance. I can help out. I'm like, all right, cool. So we just started working together. And then another guy, Brandon, came to me and said, yo, I've been watching all your videos and I'm a videographer. I don't know if you need video help, but I mean, I'd love to be a part. Like anything I could do, because you helped me quit my job watching your videos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, bet. You on the squad. So we just got together and I'm like, yo, I want to build a coaching program. I just don't want to do it myself. So if you two would help me build it, we could split all the money. Mm-hmm. So we built it and split all the money. Then I'm like, yo, the next thing we got to do is I want this event space. It's a dream of mine. I wrote it down 3 years ago. And I'm like, let's start looking for it. And I said, well, let's just take the money from the coaching program and put it into the space. So for a while, and we had like 150 people in the coaching program, for months, we didn't take any money for ourselves. We put the money into the space. So it costs about $90,000 cash.
You pay cash for it?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, we're leasing it, but it was open. Like there was nothing there.
Yeah.
So, but the build out was so expensive. And shouts out to Lee, the landlord. He kind of helped out with it. But we came together to build a coaching program, rolled the money into a event space, and now we all equally own it together.
That's dope. And that's the power of working together.
Facts. Yeah, all money in too.
Yeah. All right. Well, in the last segment, we're going to talk about what everybody's waiting for, what we're waiting for. Yes. So, and before I go, ladies and gentlemen, Seth, say no to drugs.
This is a PSA, public service announcement from
PSA,
the good folks of Vernier Leisure.
Drink responsibly.
Act accordingly.
Yes.
That's our motto.
Facts. All right. So in the last segment, we're going to talk about the Real Social Proof Conference. And this is something that you are CEO, that title?
I guess, yeah.
The head?
I mean, whatever. I'm the only person to put money up. Yeah. So you
put together a conference in Atlanta, and you got a lot of heavy hitters. You got a lot of EYL alumni. Max Maxwell, Mr. 2 Weeks Out, Alex Good Energy,
yes,
Nehemiah Davis. We will actually be there as well.
I got so many questions for y'all.
We're teaching a workshop on how to build a podcast. Eric Thomas who's headlining.
Yes, sir.
Put together, how many people do you have presenting this?
We right now have 63.
63 presenters.
Yeah, 63, six-figure, seven-figure, multimillionaire, and a black billionaire coming to teach.
Who's the billionaire?
His name is Melvin Nunnery. Okay. So, my man, yo, he's so genius. He built the company and sold 30% of the company for $1.4 billion to the Chinese government. But you got to watch the interview. It's crazy. So he built a company called Scholar Me, mm-hmm. where it's a recruiting app that connects like kids to college scholarships. So I guess he was having a conversation with the Chinese government, and he built a separate entity, Scholar Me International, and sold 30% of the separate entity for $1.4 billion.
Mm. So Chinese kids get scholarships to come here?
Hold on.
How's this work?
He built a company
that
he owns 100% of,
then
built another company and sold a portion of that for $1.4 billion, but still owns the initial company.
So it's like a replica of the original company.
That's amazing. Yeah, so he's like the bridge for Chinese kids to, you know, for the States and vice versa, things of that nature. And brilliant dude.
Second business did $1 billion. That's beyond impressive.
That's impressive.
Beyond.
Come on. He's in the building.
Okay.
He's in the building.
So.
From me asking, you want to be on a podcast? here's what's wild. No lie. I can't make this up. He joined my coaching program. It was $97 a month, and he joined the coaching program.
So you were coaching him?
He was just, so it was on morning calls, and he jumped on. He said, I love your stuff, and he just came on. And I just thought it was another person. He's like, man, I just sold my company for $1 billion, man. You going to follow me back? I said, what? Of course. I didn't know who he was. And, so from the content, he loved Dorito Days videos. He loved the podcast, things of that nature. So that's why I'm telling everybody, just be active. You never know who's watching. And he joined, and I realized, this guy is amazing. So I'm like, you need to come on the podcast. And from there, like, the relationship's just been amazing.
Sounds like somebody we need to know.
Facts.
So how does it work as far as putting together a conference? Because it's like, conferences are real big right now, seminars, stuff like that. So this is really big. You got 60 presenters, 2 days. You got a huge space in Atlanta. So. Yeah. What's the finances behind that? Like, how do you put together? You got to have insurance. You got to pay installments. Like, how do you do that?
First off, I would definitely give it to you. But first off, I don't recommend conferences, man. Because it's literally one of the only things where you will incur a public L. Like, if you start a podcast, nobody really knows how many subscribers you have. Or you have a product, nobody knows how many you sold. But if you put on an event and nobody's there, you take that L publicly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
But so just to run through the numbers, last year we did it. I think I might have spent $58,000 on the venue. I spent $5,500 per day. And I gave like the speakers like a little bit of money, because I mean, how do you pay that many speakers to come? But the biggest thing is the venue, all the stuff that comes with the venue, and you got to watch the venue, because they'll give you the space, but they're going to charge you for electricity. They're going to charge you for internet. They're going to charge you for like different drops. They charge you for everything. They charge you for staging, things of that nature. So you got to find a venue that works well. But this one right here, the venue was, it's $11,000 a day. So it's $22,000 for the 2 days, but I'm coming in early to set up, and they're charging me half a day, which is $5,500. So $27,500 just for the venue. Mm. The production, and I can't even say how much the production is because the guy that's doing the production, One Stop Production, shout out, they do huge events like A3C. Y'all heard of A3C? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he produced the whole A3C. He does events for Coca-Cola, everything. Like huge. I'm talking about lights, camera, action, smoke, all that kind of stuff. He does the whole thing. But what's interesting, he gave me a really good number. But I'll just say it's over 25,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what he's doing for me is, you know, $100,000 production. But the crazy thing is, this is the same guy who, when I was working at the Cheesecake Factory, would come in and buy wristbands while I was working there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, it's impressive for him to see, like, the growth. And you're like, yo, I'm going to work with you because I want to see you grow. It's the story and the relationships behind it. But then I had to book E.T. I had to book the big homie. I'm saying that's my guy, but it's business at the end of the day. And it feels good. Because I was on tour with him 2017, and he paid me every city that we went to. So for
how did you develop that relationship?
Working at the Cheesecake Factory.
You came in there too?
CJ. Okay. So CJ, it's crazy. All right, so I went to college with a guy named DJ Infamous, huge DJ in Atlanta from Lansing, Michigan. And him and CJ went to school together, but me and Infamous went to college together. We moved from Alabama A&M to Atlanta together. Right. So this, he was working at Media Play, still on the Media Play is like a little, it was a little, almost like a Circuit City, right? My man's working, making like $8 an hour. It's crazy. Okay. But he's on the radio every day too. So his story is amazing. But he, you know, started building his career and he bought a house, and CJ would come to his house and I would come to his house all the time. And we'd see each other over there. And CJ would see me wearing my Sleepers for Suckers gear and always talking about it, always grinding, like really, you never know who's watching. Always grinding, like always positive, never like getting drunk and all that kind of stuff. So one day he called me like, yo man, I'm working with a guy named Eric Thomas, and he has some of the same messages that your t-shirts portray, and I want to give him some shirts. I'm like, all right, cool. And at this point I never heard of him, but he sent me some of the videos, and I'm like, yo, this dude is dope. Awesome. So I give him some shirts, and he actually pays for them, like, E.T. impacted me so much through the videos, I was like, yo, I'll just give them to you. Like, yo, it's on me. But CJ actually gave me some money for them. So me and CJ still cool, but I forgot I gave him the shirts. One day, I went to the club and I came home. It was like 5 in the morning coming home, 4 or 5 in the morning. You know, Atlanta gets down. My boy called me, like, while I'm just getting into bed, going to sleep. He's like, yo, did you see the video that E.T. dropped? I'm like, bruh. It's 5 in the morning. When he said it, I wasn't even thinking who E.T. was because I have a relationship with CJ. Yeah. But I woke up the next morning and my website had mad orders and they were still coming in. Mm. Like every couple minutes, another order. Ding, ding, ding. I'm like, what is this video? So E.T. made a video called Sleep is for Suckers and wore one of my hoodies. And from then on, it's just, we grew that relationship.
That's dope. So the conference, it's going to be, how's this look? It's 63 speakers. Are people in different rooms? How's this conference going to look?
Yeah, so I go to a lot of conferences. That's why I feel comfortable charging people for conferences, because I pay, right? There are a bunch of people that they want to charge people for coaching, but they don't pay for coaching, which is strange to me. You know what I mean? But I go to conferences, and a lot of them are a bunch of people. Let's say 1,000 people in a room. There's somebody on stage. They're going to speak. And then when they get off stage, somebody else goes on stage. Then somebody else. But that 1,000 people may not need the third speaker's information, right? And they're waiting for the next person, right? Mm-hmm. So we're allowing you to customize your own experience. So there's a huge platform in the beginning. We're gonna start it off all together, some games, fun, networking, things of that nature. But then it breaks off into different workshops, breakout sessions. So we have 52 different sessions now.
Wow.
So whether it's for people who wanna start, grow, and scale their business. So for people that wanna start, they don't know what they want to do, but they know what they want to be an entrepreneur. So they might listen to the EYL workshop where, yo, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. That might be a way to start business. I want to go to Alex's workshop where he's going to teach me how to get into the trucking industry. Max Maxwell and Tommy Holt Jr., real estate. So people that want to start their business. The next group of people that want to grow their business, they might be an author or they might be in their business, but they have no idea what they're doing. They're reaching a ceiling and they just can't get past it. So they need to learn the fundamentals of branding, marketing, how to run Facebook ads. Boniface Ogunti speaking on that. the mindset of getting past your current level of success or just starting to grow. So we got a bunch of workshops on growing and then scaling, where it's a little more in detailed stuff for getting your website to convert, or copywriting. That's really huge. Or how to put together a funnel system. Now, somebody that's starting a business, they don't necessarily need to be learning funnels right now, mm-hmm. or the psychology behind funnels or even ads. But so that group of people start growing scale. 52 workshops, 4 keynote, 4 keynote speakers.
Yeah, so everybody just draws up a schedule and they follow their schedule.
You go, how many you workshops get what you like need. Running concurrent with each other?
4 at the same time.
4 at the same time?
Yep. So first day, 2 keynotes, then 4 workshops going on, and then the next day, 1 keynote, workshops all day, 4 going on at the same time, and then we got CJ doing a keynote, then ET.
What's your goal as far as people?
1,700. But the problem is the tickets are only $200. So some people may look at it as it's only $200. How impactful could it be? I went to ClickFunnels. The joint was $1,000. It was an amazing conference, yeah. But I came with my notes, took it really seriously because we invested $1,000. But sometimes, especially with our people, low price point doesn't necessarily, they don't look at it as value. So for 2 whole days, you get to be in the room with 6-figure, 7-figure, multimillionaires, and a billionaire for 2 whole days amongst 1,700 other ambitious people that you can network with, mm-hmm. all for a price of Jordans.
Less. That's crazy. Like I said, Nehemiah Davis said it the other day. He's like, yo, what would it cost you if you're not there?
Yo.
Cost you your whole business.
Bruh.
Right? Could cost you 10 years.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, you could streamline your business in a day.
People have to invest in education too. Investing in education is not just paying for college,
right?
Or paying for a textbook. Investing in education is going to workshops, going to seminars, paying for coaching. These are all things that, you know, if you're serious about taking your business to the next level.
I believe life is just a series of decisions that we make. Like wherever you are right now, it's because of a bunch of decisions that you made yesterday, preferably over the years. Where you'll end up tomorrow is about the decisions that you make right now. So I was talking to somebody who lives in Atlanta. Now we got people coming from Hawaii, Alaska, Canada, all over the world.
New York,
son, yeah, they out here. Yeah. Yo, we got a lot of people coming from New York, that's actually. Fat. But this guy in Atlanta, he was like, man, I don't know if I can make it. Bro, it's up the street from your house. Like, you're either going to be in a room where the success and all the answers and the network, you're either going to be in that room, or you're going to be at the crib, or you're going to be at work, or you're going to make some sort of decisions where I can almost guarantee it's not going to be as valuable. You're just making a bad decision right now.
And he's in advance.
Like, yo, that makes sense. Oh, in advance. Yeah. Bro, you don't even know what you're going to do a month from now.
Yeah. Like, I might not. No, you're making a bad decision now. And you're a month
right
away.
Now. Yeah. You know, and we can see like the decisions that are being made. I can see why you're at not judging my man, but I can see why you're in the position that you're in, struggling because of the decisions made. How you do anything is how you do everything. Mm. Like, of course you're not going to make a good decision to come to a valuable conference because you don't make good decisions on what to do with your money. You don't make good decisions to do with your relationships. It's just a habit.
David. Appreciate you, bro. Man, that was powerful, man. Can you tell the people how to contact you, how to get information, how to buy tickets to Real Social Proof, all of that information?
Absolutely. RealSocialProof.com. Get your tickets right now. My Instagram is @sleepis4suckers with the number 4. You can follow the Instagram page of the conference and see who's going to be there at Real Social Proof.
Everybody at this table will be there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, make sure you come to our workshop.
Yeah, pull up on us.
We need to have that fill. We don't want to have one person there while we present.
I'm sure that is what happened. Yo, the crazy thing is, like, how do y'all, man, I can't. I just want y'all on my podcast show. Because how do you start with an idea, none of y'all got a background of podcasting, and grow it to over 60,000 subscribers? There are some people right now that's listening like, yo, I would love to do what they're doing. Well, they're gonna tell you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the perfect. That's the perfect pitch. We're gonna reveal all our secrets.
Oh, for sure.
At the Real Social Proof Conference, and it's gonna be a lot of EYL alumni in the building too.
For
so people that's listening to the show, if you follow the show, and you're fans of Earn Your Leisure, you know about Max Maxwell. You know about Alex Good Energy. You know about Mr. 2 Weeks Out. You know about Nehemiah Davis, and there's a bunch of other. I think there's some more Earn Your Leisure alumni that's gonna be on the bill as well.
We got Future. EYL alumni.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. We're going to be networking. I'm going to be networking for sure. I need to get
Boniface.
Boniface Ogunti.
Boniface.
Yeah. Yo, look, I got a shout out. My man came out with me, Kazra, the only African American owned payment processing company on the planet. Like, started, like, I'm talking hundred employees. Like, in going through, and I interviewed him too, going through how you navigate these waters.
What's the name of the company?
EC Processing, Electronic Commerce.
We was just networking now. It's all about networking. Sure. It's all about networking, for 100%. Sure.
So he'll be there. And here's the crazy thing. He's an African-American in a business model where blacks don't trust blacks. So he was just telling me, like, yo, 98% of his clients aren't African-American, and he's fine because he's running a business, but it, like, why everybody else trusts us but us? Like, he's processing billions of dollars. You feel me? So
mindset, man, tailoring.
I have to get a plug on my man Kazu. He's like, yo, you coming up there? He's like, yo, you flying up to New York? He said, I'm coming. I said, bet.
They hit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Nah, it's going to be a vibe, man. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing all the our previous alumni, and then making relationships with new people as well.
There's some people we got to connect you with out there in Atlanta. Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
One in.
Atlanta's always home. So, all right, Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. The support has been amazing, man. And like I said, it allows us to do a lot of things. It allows us to go to conferences. It allows us to go all over the country, man, to spread the word of financial literacy. And so shout out to everybody that's been supporting on there, and to everybody that's supporting the merch. You know, assets over liabilities, that is ours. That is ours. We have seen some people jacking swag. We ain't gonna mention names. Our lawyers will be in touch. But shout out to everybody that has supported the merch, EYL University as well. And everybody that has been using EYL Experience to get in contact with us as far as our events. We appreciate y'all, we love y'all. And everybody on YouTube too, shout out to everybody that's on YouTube. We read all your comments. We love it. Keep liking, keep subscribing, keep commenting. We appreciate it.
Yeah, if you see anybody with assets over liabilities,
let us know.
Like ODB says, shame on them. You know, a lot of people, man, it's unbelievable. My thing is just be original, and you'll be respected for it. Don't take somebody else's idea. But good thing that we practice what we preach, and we do have it trademarked.
That's a fact.
So don't play yourself. Like, you will get a letter from our attorney, Sabine, the purpose attorney. But yes, so the book tip of this week is Dreams Are Built Overnight. And
you might know that.
You know who wrote that?
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Yes, you want to talk about that book for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. So it's called Dreams Are Built Overnight, How to Create a Bridge Between Your Day Job and Your Day Dream. So it's all the nuances that I use to make that transition, like the $100 off days or free lunch, where my goal is just take people to lunch. I ain't have much, but I needed the information, so I take people to lunch. There's a whole bunch of gems in there, practical steps on how to make that transition from your job to your dream. So I've had literally most people who read it, they'll tell me, like, yo, I haven't read a book since high school. I'm talking about grown men. He's like, yo, I finished your book in a night.
That's crazy. So Wall Street Trapper said that to me.
Oh, word.
He's like, yo, I know him. I read his book. He used to work at the Cheesecake Factory.
Really?
I'm like, oh, you know him? You know him? He's like, yo, bro, I read that book, bro.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I was like, nah,
that's
I got to introduce you to him.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to be there in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's going to be all over with us.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's what's up.
Shout out to Wall Street Trapper. All right. Well, that is that. We'll see you next week. Thank you for rocking with us. Peace.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.